We bow our heads in prayer. Father, we your sheep need to know our shepherd. As we consider that judgment day when you will come in all of your glory, remind us that we have been called by the gospel and we live in the light of your love, your grace, and what you have accomplished for us. Help us to see that inheritance that belongs to all who believe in you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. A man comes home from work, picks up his mail, and begins opening all of his mail, which happens to consist of a number of bills. As he works through those bills, the last one he comes to is from the church, asking for his support of a mission project. He's feeling a little bit of guilt at this point because after looking at the stacks of the bills that had been before him, he concludes he cannot give. But there is one final letter laying there on the table, which he opens, and as he reads it, it is from an attorney of one of his relatives. It is announcing to him that he is receiving an unexpected inheritance, and it changes everything for the man. That's our gospel reading this morning. Verse 34, that then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Yes, we have an inheritance, an eternal inheritance. The last day of the church year, Advent beginning next Sunday, and we begin a new cycle as we begin working towards his expected coming at the birth of Jesus, and then till we move to Easter and that wonderful story of how we have an internal inheritance. This Sunday is for us to look at the end of the world as we know it. To borrow from the Psalm of the day, Psalm 90, this is an acknowledgement of our own end, but it is also when time will end as we know it as well. The Old Testament reading fits very well with the gospel. As you look at Ezekiel's text there, he talks about the sheep and that God seeks his sheep even when they are scattered. And as you read that Old Testament lesson, you hear there the care that God has for his sheep. And in both the Old Testament and in the gospel reading this morning, the one who does the saving is God. It is not us. It is what God has done for us. And then sandwiched between that is the wonderful epistle from 1 Corinthians 15, where the focus is on the resurrection of Jesus, where are you? Or where am I without that knowledge of what Christ has accomplished for us through his resurrections? We are buried in our sin. Our faith stands and falls on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we look at the gospel reading this morning, and here is that beautiful text, Matthew sharing with us the separation of the sheep and the goats. And just preceding this text, Jesus has two parables, one about the 10 virgins and the other about the two types of servants. And in each of those, he speaks about two eternal rewards on the last day. Those who will be eternally one with him. And those who will be cast off eternally. Shortly after these readings, Jesus will go to the cross, where there he will suffer. He will do for us what we could not do. He even puts a passion prediction before that text and before that happening. Shortly after these words of separating out the sheep and the goats, he reminds them that this is what he must do for us. Look at the world in which we find ourselves and live today. There's so much. Much suffering. Much uncertainty. If you've been in a third world country, you know the tremendous needs that exist. But look around you. What do you see? There are tremendous needs even in our own midst. People in our own community who have been impacted in various ways, who need to hear and to know and to be shared the love of Jesus with. There are people who are isolated, people who are struggling, people who are filled with worries. And here we are entering a special time of the year. This is always for us a great time of year, from Thanksgiving to Christmas. And now we are filled with a great deal of uncertainty of how do you just go about doing this the right way? Well, we should be gathering with family and friends. And is it the right thing to do? The questions mount up before us. And we all know fellow Christians who are hurting, who are in need. And how do we reach out? How do we touch these lives as we should, as God's people in this place? And the way we do that is understanding the inheritance that we all have. We have an inheritance because we have a good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. Jesus says, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you." From the very foundation of the world, God set up this inheritance. The fullness of that inheritance is realized in Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished for us. And Jesus gives us a beautiful picture. "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." And then the righteous will answer, "Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you drink? Or when do we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when do we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." You see, the reality is that you and I, if we really understand the inheritance that we have, we don't do it for any other reason than we know that this is the right thing to do. And we reach out to one another not thinking about the cost or what's in it for me. And when you look at the other side of that coin to those who are on his left, he says the same thing, only what's the difference? They did not see their brother in need. They did not see this because where was their focus? On what's in it for me. Where do and why do we find ourselves doing what is the right thing to do? The assurance of our inheritance is in whose we are and in what God has done for us. I love this particular text as you come to the end of the church year, because it reminds us, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have an internal inheritance. It is an inheritance that ought to be shared. It is an inheritance that ought to be enjoyed. It is an inheritance that we ought to share with one another. On the day of judgment, there will be that separation of the sheep and the goats. And the question is the same. When did we see you? The difference will be those who know that they have an inheritance that neither spoils nor fades. Bonhoeffer described it as the forgetfulness of love. If we truly love one another, there's a lot of things we forget. There are a lot of things we do because we know that we are loved and we share that love. We focus on what Christ has done for us. And in that focus, we forget about ourselves. And the question is not what's in it for me, but what can I do for those around me? Yes, the world in which we live is a challenging place. There's far too much emphasis on self. Too many times, people's motive is, what's in it for me? Maybe that's the reason our nation is reeling right now. There's far too much emphasis on self. And we ought to be focusing on the forgetfulness of love, God's love for us. We do and can make a difference by living in the inheritance we have been given by our God. Through what Christ did by suffering and dying and rising again. Remember whose you are. And remember that without Him you are nothing. He covers our sin in His righteousness. And so we have this eternal inheritance to be shared, to be lived, and to give it to one another. We need to live as though what we do makes a difference. A difference because of what God has already done. And yes, when we stand before His throne, we ought to be able to say, Lord, when did we see you like this? Because you see, that is what it is to live in the eternal inheritance that is ours in Christ. Amen.